is a public service announcement. The episode that you are about to listen to is part of the annual Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunkcast. What is about to follow may be offensive, may be stupid, it's us getting drunk, and please forgive us if we say anything horrific. All right, on with the episode.
Welcome, welcome. Let's not even bother. No, I've got to do the three welcomes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's part five of the 2023 Drunkcast. You've had enough warnings. If you're here, you only have yourself to blame. I love these boys, and I loved having this recording this evening with them. Me and Chris actually went home after this. He stayed at mine, and in my kitchen, we had one of my favourite conversations of the year. And it wasn't a happy one. It was a deep one, but it was a really... It was one of those good drunk conversations where you've got each other's back. Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway, thank you all for an amazing year of this podcast, of support, of everything. As you've heard, I've not talked about it that much on the podcast. It's popped up here and there. It's popped up here and there on Twitch. But as you've heard, it's been a weird year for me. But it really, I meant that in the first episode, it's really been a best of times and worst of times one. Because genuinely some of my favourite times have been this year, and equally genuinely some of the worst times of my life. But the constant has been the podcast, has been you lot tuning in, has been you lot motivating me to have amazing conversations that have really helped me. I don't think I've talked about this, but when I was in a really bad hole, the episode I had lined up to record, almost cancelled it, was the one with Saul Williams and Anicia. And I jumped on that Zoom, and Saul was on and Anicia was still setting up. And I kind of opened up a little bit to Saul to kind of go, he was like, "How are you, man?" And I was like, "Yeah, not good, to be honest." And he was so beautifully supportive and wise. And yeah, that podcast was exactly what I needed at that point, genuinely. So that podcast only existed because of you lot. So yeah, thank you for your unbeknownst support this year, in a way, you know. And on to next year, 2024, baby. Anyway, this is a long intro before a disgrace of a last episode of the year. So hopefully I've made up for what's ahead by that heartfelt intro. And if you're tuning in, thank you again. I know people skip intros sometimes. People might not make it through five episodes of us getting drunk. So anyone who's been listening now, genuinely thank you. Let's get on with this mess of an episode. This has been the Distraction Pieces podcast for 2023. This is how we end it. Of all the beautiful, deep, powerful, important conversations we've had, this is how we end it. Basically, take it away, Chris. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
Shall we?
Yeah, I started recording already. I just wanted to get Chris genuinely recommending you to check the reviews out on Screenplay.
I've done that.
So what are we looking at? Bear in mind, this is a new episode. Explain what's happening,
Stu. Okay, so Chris said, when you said that you took your mum to watch Cabaret,
yep.
He then said, "I took your mum to watch Sliver."
I mean, I didn't... So I do previously on the Drunkcast.
Then Shoes looked up reviews of Sliver as a film on Amazon or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Okay. Google. Okay. So not Ian Moon has left a 5-star review. He said, "I watched this film when I was 6. And even if I have forgot his title, I will not forget the horrifying and traumatising memories it gave me. Even to this day, been blabbering about it with my relatives' friends or scouring the internet, hoping to find it, but to no avail. 14 years later, I found it, searching for movies Damn, why did not think about that sooner? Need to watch it again. Still traumatized. Underneath that.
And that's a review.
That's a review.
That's just a conversation. That's just some stuff that happened.
I loved everything about this film. It was fun, goofy, gross, and just the perfect hybrid of film that I like.
Are you reading Sliver the horror film about the little wormy things that go in the back garden and it's like a blob type movie in a horror film? Sliver.
If you're a fan, no. If you're a fan of Trauma or Cronenberg, then you'll be used to this sort of thing.
He's reading the horror film Sliver.
I totally am. Like... Did you see Alex Baldwin's little worm in it?
I don't think you do. No, I can barely remember anything about.
Oh, it's very sexy.
Yeah, all that era.
Sharon Stone was very sexy.
It was all a very sexy era, wasn't it? I don't know how they've aged.
I remember Body of Evidence. She was like melting the candle on Defoe. I thought it was on his chest.
And no, it went down to his penis. I think that's how they use for protection. I was quite...
What, a wax prophylactic?
I think I was quite young, so it might be my imagination saying that's what they were doing. Maybe they were.
I thought she just poured some on his chest.
I thought she started there, for sure.
Oof. Anyway, how are we doing, guys?
Yeah.
Hello, Pip. Welcome to your podcast.
I've got a question. Have either of you seen, and again, one of the best things I've seen this year, David Holmes, The Boy Who Lived? It's a documentary come out.
Producer, musician?
No, about the stuntman who was stuntman for Harry Potter, for Daniel Radcliffe in the Harry Potter films, and in the last one, he got a spinal injury.
Yeah.
He lives in Southend. I'm doing a podcast with him. He's fantastic, but it's an amazing watch. Number one, he's the coolest fucking dude in the world. He was a stuntman at the age of like 16 or 17, just doing all this cool shit, and this thing went wrong. This spinal injury,
it's left him irreparably damaged.
Yeah, and it's getting worse and worse. The documentary is amazing. It really shows what stunt guys go through and the risks they take. It's really beautiful because it talks to... And David hasn't watched it because he can't, because it's such a traumatic time in his career. But it was he put it together, he's in it. But the way his colleagues and mates all talk about him is so beautiful. But he's put a question in for us.
Right.
The first question he's put in is... Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, Quentin Tarantino, shag, marry, kill.
I'd kill Tarantino because that's what Tarantino would want.
Kinky bastard. He'd love it. Would you smother him to death with your feet?
No. I'd dance around him and then just fucking slit his throat with a razor.
That young man.
So who you're marrying and who you're shagging?
Is it Scorsese?
Scorsese and Spielberg.
Marry Scorsese. Fucking shag Steven Spielberg.
That surprises me. I thought Spielberg was the clear husband material. I would have said.
I'm going to go with you, Pip, on this one. I think Spielberg is the classic married. Don't think of them. Think of their movies. Spielberg's are more marrying. And Scorsese's...
Do you think you've watched a Spielberg movie more times than you've watched one specific Spielberg movie more times than you've watched Goodfellas?
That's the problem, isn't it? Because, you're going to put something like Jaws up against Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And it's really difficult.
And Raiders.
It's tough to know. Well, right, if it's... there we go. I think you got it there. Raiders I've watched probably most.
Interesting then. Question from Sedgwick. In a really weird apocalypse, you can only watch one film and listen to one album for the rest of your life. What are they?
Has the album got to be from the film or not?
No. Any album, any film.
I'll take...
I'd love it if you picked a film and the original soundtrack for the film.
Well, I could do that with The Wanderers.
I could do it with The Crown.
Yeah, but then you get to... You get to watch that in the film.
Yeah.
Have two.
Yeah, no. I'd
okay, sometimes I fancy it with pictures and sometimes I fancy it without. The variation, lads.
I would go...
I think it's straight to the A for me.
No, I was just thinking if it was straight to the A.
Always has been, always will be.
I'll go...
And that's album. Yeah. The audio book.
Yeah. My album I would take would be What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, and I would take Grease.
Grease, okay.
Nice. More music.
I did a I did a thing on my Twitch. I've got a thing on, a guy runs a thing on Instagram and YouTube now of clips from my Twitch. And I did a thing where I break down the a cappella of Marvin Gaye.
Heard it through the grapevine.
No.
Let's get it on.
And it's fucking hilarious. When you hear the a cappella, it's hilarious. The way he says, I won't push you, baby. And then he follows it with, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, darling. And he's like saying, he's all gentle and all nice, I won't push it. He's like, fucking come on, come on. And then shortly after that, he just goes, no! Very, get it on!
Very sexual man. We spoke about having a Marvin on here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Educating young men.
Yeah.
Very sexy man.
So you've gone for Grease and What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, Christopher William Gresham. Instinctively, film I went for Dazed and Confused. And I think that's a bit of a cheat as well, because you get an album with that, essentially. It's such a good soundtrack.
Feel good, great movie. Oh, gosh.
And then album, it might be because of a conversation that me, Chris and Mark Irvine have been having recently, but I think I might go for Green Day, Dookie. I love it so much. And it's, again, it's the memories attached to it. Rancid and Out Come the Wolves. And my favourite album of all time is Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane's album. It's just called Johnny Hartman and John Coltrane. But I think Green Day would do the job because
it triggers all those memories.
It's got the kind of chilled songs like When I Come Around and Long View, but then it's got FOD, for getting all my anger out, because when that kicks in, fuck off and die, and it's amazing. There's a little bonus. And then obviously Basket Case, which was just a seminal song for me growing up.
I never wanted that as long as I live.
Fucking alternative club DJ. So yeah, Days Are Confused and Green Day, Dookie.
Oh, it's tricky. I don't want to think about this too long. It would kill me.
I bet you do.
Will it?
Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, great choice.
First record, that would be.
Rage Against the Machine. Eponymous.
I've never got bored of that record ever. And I quite like getting angry. I think it's quite fun. I don't know where to go with it. I don't.
I was tempted with Goodfellas. I know you mentioned Goodfellas over. The Thing.
I'd say The Thing, but...
I need to rewatch The Thing.
I think both of your answers is better in the sense that I think there's a degree of... They have, you know, the strategy of having all that great music in it. But I don't know, man. I fucking love The Thing.
Lads.
I fucking love The Thing.
Let's stick together on this apocalypse, because it's between the three of us. Yeah. We've got a great mix.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we can share them.
All right. Deal.
I need to rewatch The Thing. There's two versions, right? Is there two versions of The Thing? No, there's only one.
I might be thinking of another film. The prequel that Joel Edgerton's in.
Which is
all right. It's difficult to sort of like challenge The Thing. The thing, the originals, the ball.
I need to rewatch it. I'm sure I have seen it, but I don't remember it that well.
Oh, mate, definitely. Watch it tonight. Get home, pop it on.
You're staying at mine tonight. That's why you've suggested that. Watch it tonight. We'll go home in a minute. It'll be lovely. Let's not worry about it. Do we want to talk about the Tories a bit? Because they're fucking shit, aren't they?
I've got this issue currently with our government where I think that I don't... We're getting so oppressed. How are we in a democracy when energy prices are rising again? Because if everyone was to vote for not doing that, we'd all go, no. And so we don't live in a democracy. It's a complete farce. The Tories have wrecked the country. I think our whole democratic system's fucked up. I think Keir Starmer's not a great... He's like, we're being forced to eat again. We've had this conversation in the last 3 years.
So I was going
to
say, he's a shit cunt as well.
I think we're in a situation where how far are we from evolution? And I genuinely mean that. I'm getting so... sick to the back teeth of watching people like Suella Braverman say the insane things she says.
Homelessness is a lifestyle choice.
What then terrifies me is then I read YouTube comments and I realise that we only get who we deserve. And when you read the comments, you know, if you read, say, for example, a post from Israel Palestine, we were talking about news. Unfortunately, part of the reason why my deposition in the last 2 months is as bad as it is, there's a large part of it is that conflict. Without spending 2-3 episodes discussing that. But then when I read a post on any Israel-Palestine conflict and you just read the absolute extreme polarised opinions of the people in the comment threads, it makes me very sad. And it's the same, like we're getting what we deserve, is that we've got our population, myself included, is particularly lacking in decent critical capacity to think, and our MPs come from that populace. If you want to sit there and say, no, it's only the upper class, wrong. Rishi Sunak didn't come from that. Many MPs who ended up finding themselves with a lot of political power across the globe have found themselves in positions of power from fucking abject poverty, or not that he was abject poverty. His parents, I believe, are chemists, but not rich.
He is now the cunt.
Oh, well, now he's beyond the billionaire. Yeah. And then you look at all the millionaires made from the PPE scandal. We've got the energy scandals. How long is it until we just start putting bullets in heads? And I know I don't mean to sound extremist here, but like, I'm so sick and tired of you know, we can pick on the Tories, but you really think a change up of colour, of being chosen, having to only ever get the option to choose between two political parties or three? No, it's really fucked. It's protected. It will never change. They're always going to be one step ahead. And they're going to be one step ahead because they're very good at getting the general public arguing about major headlines and choosing extreme opinions. And there's never any nuance. Sorry, I've gone on now.
No, and again, I think that arguably the most depressing thing at the moment is that Keir Starmer is leading the opposition. Mm-hmm. And he's gone full Tony Blair in the kind of centrist, try and appeal to both sides. It's it's a horrible alternative, and it's bleak. The thing that always annoys me, the reason I didn't go on any of the marches after the Tories got in the last time, and got in pretty much illegally, certainly not fair, with so much just dodginess in the voting and dodginess in how not proportional representation works and all this kind of thing. The reason I didn't get involved in any of that was, prior to this election and the election before, I did posts asking if there's any protests prior to the election about how our electoral system works, and there were none. And the fact is, we only want to protest it when our side loses.
Yeah.
If our side had won in a broken, unfair system, it's still fucking unacceptable. No, so it's like, right, well, I'm not going to come and chant with you all because you lost the broken system. It's fucked regardless. Absolutely. I do think Labour is the best current option and an essential option because of how ruthless the Tories have been. The fact that they've done so much to just profiteer and gone unchallenged. They've done so much that is clearly illegal, and they've got away with more and more of it, where it's gone, no, they can't get this through. And the Rwanda thing's a prime example of that, that they're still trying to push that through despite numerous, and hopefully it won't go through, but despite numerous European or UN interruptions, all these different things saying, no, you can't do that. And it's not dead yet. You know, it's all these stupid things. It's insane that they get away with this.
That if the Tories don't get in, we just get succeeded by another party, where ultimately the most important thing, the country is run by money, corporations and lobbying. And until we understand until we detach lobbying from politics, and until we make politicians legally liable for the stuff they say.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, like, I wish someone who had an ounce of get up and go would. Like, have you ever watched, we talked about podcasts right earlier. I watch a lot of YouTube. There's a guy called Coffeezilla who investigates mass fraud.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it in the cryptocurrency world. He is just a young man with a passion for journalism and investigative journalism. And if someone like that was to investigate any democracy or legal system, or even the banking system, what they would turn up would be fucking frightening. And until we fix these things, a little bit like us arguing over the outcome of an election when the election itself is perverted, that's where our problem is, Pip, is that it doesn't matter what we're arguing about, and it doesn't matter about us going on a protest for certain things. It's fundamentally beyond corrupt, and it needs actual regulation. And
I mean,
politicians aren't held accountable properly for anything.
We've seen it in America. Like, I think Biden is better than Trump, but I don't think he's good.
Yeah. And again, we won't go into it all in detail, but Israel-Palestine has illustrated that. Yeah. Biden is arguably the most powerful person in that situation. Yeah. He's made awful choices and done fuck all.
What a dickhead. Or Keir Starmer saying that he doesn't think the Tories are hard enough on disability benefits situations and stuff like that. It's like, you're meant to be the Labour Party. You're meant to be in support of the people and support of those who need support. And yeah, cunt. You got anything to say, Stu? You don't have to. I just feel that me and Chris have rambled on for a bit.
I fall in and out of it. I have times when I listen to nothing but LBC all day, and it makes me really sad.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes me fucking sad. And I don't think anyone's got the right answers at the moment. I think our country's fucking in an absolute shithole of a fucking place. And I just don't know who's going to fucking get us out of that. It's certainly not going to be the Tories. I don't necessarily think it's going to be Keir Starmer. And I just worry about what the next fucking years have in store for us.
What does it leave for us on a cost of living? Because it is getting outrageously expensive.
Yeah.
I get my car insurance.
Us, we are lucky enough to be maybe in positions now where we can survive a lot worse.
It's the passivity that kills me. Like the elective subservience of us as a nation. So all of the cost of living stuff, yet profits are at the highest they've been for so many companies. Like my brother just coming back from 6 months in Malaysia was like, well, it's mad to see the price of everything so much higher, so many empty shelves, loads of it is attached to Brexit. But again, there's loads of these profits. In Malaysia, you can't raise the price or you can't profiteer and go against each other for the essentials. Yeah. So meat, veg, all these kind of things have a set price. Yeah. Things like that, because they're the essentials. That's what people need to live. You can't ramp the price up on that. But then, again, like the fact that the price of oil like flew up and there was loads of protests and everyone was angry. And then we all went, all right, that's what it is now. And we all just stopped. There was such fury. And then BP, everyone else is doing the biggest profits that they've ever had. They said, oh, it's because of the Ukraine conflict. It's because of this and that. There's no price hike in Europe. It's here because they go, oh, well, we're allowed to do it because they ain't going to do shit. And I think it comes down to, I've talked about it before, probably on Drunkcasts, but it comes down to places like France, who basically rioted when there was a suggestion of raising the age of retirement, which is already something like 10 years below ours.
It's well documented in France. It's well documented. It's so much better. That's the fact why people reference France constantly when they talk about protest, whereas...
It all comes down to history, though, right? It's because France's history is civil unrest and revolutions, whereas our history, our literal fucking national anthem, is long to reign over us. We're singing passionately, please let them reign over us for longer. I hope they reign over us for so long. That's in our DNA, our national identity.
There was a bigger protest in the history of France than there was when the UK marched against the war in Iraq. Yeah. I'm sure there's never been a bigger protest in France than that. And it just fucking makes me really fucking sad.
I think also, if you've got issues in your personal space and then you see these, it's so overwhelming. You feel so individually incapable. But I do think that firstly, you have to, I'm not particularly brilliant at this right now. But all I'd say is where I can and what I need to do better is I need to get better, raise awareness. I need to read multiple news sources. I've been really good at it in the past. I think I'm a bit weak at it now. I think I need to be able to see nuance and...
You shouldn't have to. You should be able to trust the people that fucking want to run the country.
Unfortunately, Stu, we are now in a situation like if you were left out in the wild where nothing's given and that we need to... If we want our government to be accountable, we have to be. And we have to know these things and then we have to fucking raise awareness and hold people accountable to what the fuck is going on. And I think things that you've had Loki on recently about the Israel-Palestine conflict.
Came from a conversation with your missus at your birthday party, us talking about, because again, it was really tough. I'd added a few people pushed to have Loki on again, who I've had him on before, talking about Israel-Palestine fucking... years ago. This isn't a conflict that started on October 17th.
But it was chatting there and kind of going, right, no, actually, I need to find a way to make this work. And it was when we recorded it at like 10 p.m. on a Monday night and put it out as that Wednesday's podcast, which isn't easy because I've not got this big thing. It's me and Buddy Peace. So it's making it work and turning it around as quickly as we can. But yeah, it felt important. And I've had backlash from that. I've had people say that Loki is anti-Semitic, and I don't think he is. I've not seen any evidence of that.
Nobody's centred anymore, Pip. Everybody's one way or the other.
I will say in this situation and conflict, it can be understandable. Yeah. If you're Jewish and you're seeing a massive rise in anti-Semitism, it's understandable to be emotionally defensive. Yeah, yeah. Like, I can't get angry at that. And equally, if you're Muslim and you're seeing a massive rise in Islamophobia, it's understandable to act emotionally rather than rationally. But it's funny enough,
when I talk about us being better thinkers, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, we don't have a populace that...
And except so nuance.
This isn't a criticism of people who react emotionally, because as a human being, I've done it a million times, I'm going to do it more, but it's not ingrained in us to be able to separate emotions from gathering information and looking at both parties' side of things. War is not inherently... War doesn't always come about just one simple oppression.
Mm-hmm.
It can be multifactored, and there's a lot of factors that obfuscate the issues that happen between Israel and Palestine. But then what you see, I saw a post about it the other day, and all it was some people saying we need another October 7th, and then I'm reading other comments that say eradicate Gaza. And funnily enough, those two polarizing comments were throughout it, worded in different ways.
Mm.
And yet that was what the comment stream of this channel was. It's like two extreme opinions.
Just shouting at each other.
Because of the violence that has been committed on both sides. And I might... You want to look at a map... Go and look at a map of Palestine over the last 75 years.
Yep.
And a picture, like you once said, a picture, you know, says 1,000 words, right? And look at that. No one gave that territory away. And so without us overcomplicating the reasons why, there's obviously a real fucking massive problem there.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding the issue of that does not often come down to the general person in Palestine or Israel. It comes down to the players that are going behind that are calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's way more difficult to resolve. And actually other countries, like the West wanting an interest in the East,
mm-hmm.
and then Eastern agitators wanting to encourage and finance
the... Or BP currently making deals within this conflict.
Yeah.
But that said, what's the best thing you've eaten this year?
Stewie!
Can you think? I've had a roast at this place called Folks. It's out in Norfolk, actually, and you go out there. It's near King's Lynn. The first time I went to King's Lynn was to pick up a fridge from Greg to drop off at Mark's because I had a space cruiser. But I've had this roast at this place called Folks, right? And it's like a serve yourself. It's like a carvery type thing. But
you went to a Toby carvery.
It wasn't a carvery. No,
you're
still
on off menu.
You get ready for this because they've got your meats. They've got amazing veg, big Yorkshires. They've also got a selection of mini pies. So you have a pie as part of your roast. Fucking amazing. And then there's a dessert thing that's it's good. I rate it.
Sounds good.
I also ate at a place in Lee called Toppers and Toast that do this puffy, like, French bread. And you can either have savoury... French toast, French bread. What am I talking about? French toast. It's a fucking amazing. I'd followed it on Instagram for a while. I hadn't gone there. I went there. It lived up to it.
Whenever the girls have done something good and they've achieved something, we go to Toppers and Toast. And we stand outside and queue up to get a table because it's never that straightforward on a Sunday to get in there.
Yeah.
And the food's incredible.
It's fucking amazing, isn't it? Yeah, like, it looks... I was worried. I've been to a few places that look really good on Instagram and then you get it and it looks really good, but it doesn't taste that good. That was just... heaven.
I had a fake
and it feels really independent and really like local and just
yeah, absolutely.
It feels like a real good one to support.
I've not eaten meat for most of this year.
Yeah.
So I had a fake bacon roll at Vegan Fest, which is a very in the Cotswolds, which is an incredibly middle class thing to say. But that was really good. So just kind of missed that taste of bacon. So I had a bacon roll when I was hungover. That's fucking bang on.
I always remember arguing with my dad because when my kind of almost sister-in-law at one point was first vegan, and my dad would be like, I understand it, it's a fair choice, but why have fake bacon? Why have vegetables? And it was like, it's such a common argument, but it really clearly means you've not thought about it at all. Because it's like, well, you have fake bacon because you miss the taste of bacon.
Tastes amazing.
You've not stopped eating meat because you don't like meat. You've stopped eating meat because you don't want animals to die. Yeah. Like, it doesn't pass any level of thought, like, to break down. And again, it's the most common argument. You see it online all the time. I'm fine with it, but why are they making things pretending it's a sausage when it's not a sausage? It's like, because you miss a sausage.
Simple as that.
Because you want a sausage and you can't have one because you don't want animals...
Completely that.
To die on behalf of it. Completely so, that. And again, there's been big, I think in recent years, there's been so many big leaps about. One of the best things I've had, actually, if you're ever in Edinburgh again, there's a place called Faceplant.
Right.
And I had a mac and cheese sandwich there, a mac and cheese toasty, and it's vegan. And I've always said the one thing that vegans can't do yet is cheese. It's the thing that always falls down for me. This mac and cheese toasty, oh my God. I don't know how they've done it. They're really secretive about how they've made it. And I think the secret is cheese. Yeah, genuinely, I think the secret is cheese, but apparently it's not. And it's astounding. Mm. Like, because again, I think there's so much good meat. I think often a vegan sausage roll is nicer than an actual sausage roll. There's so many areas where it's come leaps and bounds, but... Cheese has always been the downfall for me, but this fucking Faceplant in Edinburgh, I'm telling you.
I still eat cheese. I'm veggie, I'm not vegan.
Yeah.
I live with a vegan. Yeah. So there is vegan cheese.
She still eats cheese as well.
Hey.
Chris, what's the best thing you've eaten this year? Bataga Don't be rude. Cruiser. What was that?
Bataga Cruiser is an Italian. I've decided that to do as I'm told, and my fiance is actually right about everything. One of them is now my favourite cuisine is Italian, which I never thought it would be. I always thought when people said Italian, I was like, that's pathetic.
It's so basic, but it's easily my favourite.
No, it is the best.
Easily my favourite.
The best food in the world is Italian.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's not. But no, I think it actually is. And you set aside pizza, I mean, fresh pasta.
Mm-hmm.
I had this sausage and fennel.
That little there. I'm clearly drooling. Yeah. Oh, keep talking, Chris. Keep talking.
Off the fucking chart. And Molly was having a bit of a low week. And it's a Michelin recommended restaurant in family run Italian restaurant in Margate. And I phoned up on a Friday, and I was like, "Is there any chance you got a little two top for us? We can come early." I said, "I can come early if you want to pop that as a joke."
And they said, "We already know. We've heard."
5:30, they went. We got a little table, went in there, and it just turned Molly's day round. And
how little was this table?
So actually, this is the insane thing. They gave us an entire six top room available and said, "We need this back in like an hour and a half." And we were like, "No. We'll be fine." So we had their best room. It was just like
amazing. Great.
And we had those actually that he created it in the bear as well. The the pudding. It's like the pastry curls with cream in the middle.
Cannoli.
Cannoli.
Yeah, I love a cannoli. It's going to make you angry.
No,
but Far Away do a really good cannoli. I know you hate Far Away. Oh, it's a different thing. Let's not get into it. Let's not get into it. We're on a positive now. We've got off the Tories. We're on to positives. Yeah, no, yeah. Have you made anything off the bear? Like that omelette, a mate of mine, or someone on my Discord. Who was it on my Discord? I'm sure I saw them. They did leave it was Carla. I'm sure they made the omelette off of the bear. Because you see most things on the bear and you think, I could never do that. But the omelette, they kind of walk you through it. That's tempting.
Yeah, for
but sure. Yeah, I love a cannoli. I've only got in. I've probably had my first cannoli in the last couple of years. Can't get enough. A lemon one, a pistachio one, hazelnut. Fucking put it. Shove it in my mouth.
Absolutely. Just just come in thinking about those stuff.
Oh, I'd quite like to have a cannelloni and then a cannoli and a can of... can't think of anything. I've not got finish. It was going really well. A cannelloni, a cannoli, and a can Ollie. Oliver Quintrell.
We can have some Ollie Ollie with it.
Shut up.
Are we doing 20 questions?
Let's do 20 questions. We've got to wrap things up now because Stu needs to go to bed. Stu, would you like to think of someone?
A tired little picker.
Oh, yeah, all right, yeah.
Oh! I'm all surprised.
I didn't realise I made the rules.
I forgot I was on a podcast.
Right, I've got to think of someone.
You
right?
Think of someone. Tell me when you thought of someone.
I've got to guess it, remember?
Then Chris has to ask 20 questions. That's how the game got its name.
If you're looking up who's the actor in The Crow, it's Brandon Lee.
So. Just quickly, guys, I had a thing noted. There's a thing that Limmy does called Sporkle, and you can do these audio quizzes, and it'll be like, so it's 50 songs, you've got 20 minutes, and it'll be a 5-minute video that's 10 seconds of each song. We're not doing it now, but I want at some point over Christmas, well, that's it. I want me, you, Chris, and Cunt in Cunt's pub drinking and playing them.
I've got loads of spare time as well.
So yeah.
Let's do that.
Let's make it happen. Not recorded, not for anyone, not for you listeners, just for us. Because I think Stu would be in such be heaven.
So yeah, 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 yeah.
I watched Lemmy do it. And Lemmy's, you'd love it, Stu, because he's a fucking idiot savant for 80s music. Oh, like, really? Just his knowledge is... Okay, got you.
Okay.
Let's begin. Stu has selected a person. Chris, you have 20 questiones.
Is it somebody we talked about tonight?
No.
No one. I mean, we talked about a lot of people. That's good. Mm. That's ruled out a lot of people. Yeah. But can you not remember who we've talked about tonight?
Not really. So I fucked myself really. Is it somebody I talk about fondly?
Never.
Fucking, this is going to be so different.
I wouldn't say never. I've not got clear memories of you talking about them fondly.
In all the time we've spoken on podcast, I've never heard you mention this person.
But you've talked about them, surely. No?
Are they fictional?
No.
No.
Jesus. Oh my God, he's taking his hat off, guys.
Is someone that isn't in my realm of fucking knowledge then, is it? If I've never talked about them.
Is that a question?
They're not fictional. No, this is for the poor listeners who are with me on this one.
Stu, pour him a shot.
No.
He needs a hand.
No. Jesus wept. That's not a question. Jesus wept?
You've got 17 questions. Just get through some. And don't start doing that.
Well, I do punch when I do this, don't I? I don't even realise. Are they a actor or actress? Same thing.
Yes.
Yes.
They are fucking... Whoa. And I've never spoke about them. Okay.
I think they've come up. I don't think he's brought them up. I don't think he's ever brought them up, but they've definitely come up. Because they're so known.
Okay. Have they featured in a movie via a director we've spoken about tonight?
No.
Not tonight?
No.
And we've spoken about big ones.
Oh, I'll just ask what sex are. You can't.
What sex are they?
No. You've
done five.
Are they female?
Yes. That's six.
I've never ever spoke about them.
Not at any level.
At any level. They've never been...
Any length.
They've never been in a film by a director we've talking about tonight,
right,
where we spoke about some of the big ones.
Yes.
Just a note, he did say talking about.
No.
No, are they not? Didn't know.
You've made this... You've dragged out your...
Heartbroken. Heartbroken. I didn't know. Heartbroken.
Yeah.
This is how I find out.
Yeah.
In 20 questions and episode 5 of The Drug Girl.
Dead female actress.
Yeah.
That wasn't a question. I'm just saying that now, but it does help because I'm known for having a bad memory.
Yeah.
A dead female fucking actress. Jesus fucking Christ.
Nothing in here will give you any clue.
Yeah.
I just feel like this isn't very fun then, is it?
I'm having fun.
Wow, that was a powerful little pop. Dead female actress. I'm not very good with a live female actress.
You're not very good at this game. Honest.
Yeah, infamously.
Were they in many science fiction movies?
No,
I would have said so.
Me. Were they in many comedies?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
Mm. Wow. You've got 11 questions left, mate. This is feeling more positive all of a sudden.
Were they in the carry-on camping?
Yes. Well done.
Fucking hell.
Why Chris has finally come out on 11. Top. Yeah.
Why did that big old tits come into your mind? Oh, it's not difficult.
What a win.
Man, I think we're all really surprised at this one. I snatched defeat from the jaws of
well
defeat.
Well played, mate.
What a win. Is there anything you'd like to end on? Anything you'd like to say, Stu? Anything you'd like to declare to people as we go into the new year, as we're in the festive period? A big sigh. Big sigh and a sad face.
I just wish everyone a very happy Christmas and a happy new year. Thanks if any of you have listened to any of the podcasts that Chris and I have done.
What's the plans? Let's plug all your podcasts. So, Off the Beaten Track, Hardcore Listing, Acceptable in the 80s, and the MMA Fan Podcast.
So Chris and I are back on Acast, like releasing on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Yeah. So go check us out. If you want more content, head over to Patreon.
And go back to those ones in August that are all the comedians at the Fringe.
Go back to Helen Bauer.
Just all of them around
that's
that.
Jenny Bauer.
Cold absolutely. Godfrey. Absolutely.
Is it Alison Spittle? Is that one?
Yeah, Alison.
Yeah, so she was great.
She's really good. Suits.
Yeah.
Oh, Alison.
Or Ruth Husko prior to that was, again, was a fantastic one.
One of my favourites of the year, that.
Yeah. Like, really good episodes.
Follow Ruth Husko.
Ruth is very funny.
On Twitter.
Top five
Dan Aykroyd.
Worst dating experiences or reasons
so
she's
good.
Split up with by guys.
Yeah. So good.
She's gold.
Brilliant, brilliant person.
Go check out the MMA Fan Podcast. One of the highlights of my year was getting to sit in a room with Bruce Buffer.
Yeah,
chat to Bruce.
Bruce Buffer MVP going on the on Zoom with
Volk.
What's his name with Volk, but also what's his name? The kickboxing or Muay Thai fucking icon,
John Wayne Parr.
John Wayne Parr,
yeah, yeah. Had some great ones with that. So that's good fun. John Wayne Bobbitt caught up with him and his his penis. By the side of a road, you might have found that when he was having you in camping.
He's caught up with it finally.
Off the Beaten Track, just ticking over, doing its thing.
Doing
it, and
all right, you sold that well.
Sorry,
fucking tune in next week.
To be sold well,
you've had some amazing guests.
It's six amazing. Overall, right? But shout out, Acceptable in the 80s once a month. Me and Come From Cunt and the Gang. And I'll sign out on go check at properchristmas.info.
Chris.
Be nice to each other. Don't come into a conversation desperate to just win your side of it. Actually listen and maybe try and see and try and spend your time arguing their point before you go back to arguing your own point. Yeah. Read a book called Teach Yourself to Think by Edward de Bono. I hope you have a nice Christmas. Touch yourself less.
What?
That's mine, but everyone touches themselves more.
Yeah.
What's yours then? What message have you got?
Touch my de Bono.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. I mean, I did the heartfelt thing in the intro. I love these boys. I love you people. You people. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, this has been the Distraction Pieces podcast for 2023. What a year, man. Well, what a year for all of us. So much going on in the world. A lot, as said, you never know what's going on in everyone's personal lives. What a year. What a fucking year. But we all got through it. And I hope we're all ending it feeling positive. I'm looking forward to my New Year's Eve film. I might be doing films this New Year's Eve. I might get a few in, but yeah. Big love to you all. I love you all dearly. And I'll see you next year. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.